On Air with George Adair on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
Happy Wet Wednesday. I'm George Adair. We do the show every Wednesday at noon. I was expecting it to be much sunnier when I woke up this morning, but that's okay. It's not. So, folks, stay safe out there. The roads are slick. I lost a little control when I was taking a turn.
Oh, no.
Scary. Got a little excited into that turn.
Ah.
Got a little squirrely.
No, you got to be careful. You got to keep your speed down and make sure your lights are on and all that good stuff.
Yep. There's oil slick. I saw a little oil slick on my driveway. I was like, where'd that come from?
Crazy.
New car. Hey folks, George Adair. We do the show every Wednesday at noon. Thanks for joining us today. Got a great show lined up, especially if you're interested in investing in real estate. I have an expert. He's going to join us in just a minute. Simon Raya. He's with Remax Marketplace, and he's going to talk about some things that you may not know impact your decision making and whether to get into the investor market. He's going to be giving us some good intel on that. And of course, we do this show live, but you can always catch the podcasts at ksro.com. It's a once a week show, so sometimes you can't catch it live. That's good, though. You know, you got other things going on. Go check it out. Use the World Wide Webinet.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find, I'm trying to find new names every time.
Yeah.
The Webinet.
It's a series of tubes and wires.
Folks,
I don't know.
Can we get rid of the W's?
We should.
When Al Gore invented the internet, I don't think he wanted the W's to last forever.
Right. We don't need them anymore.
That's fake news, folks. Al Gore did not invent the internet. The U.S. military did. Hey, Michelle, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. I do not appreciate the rain and riding with my wet suit.
In your Vespa? You bring a dry suit today?
Yes, I have my rain suit, but it's all wet right now, so I'm going to have to dry that out somehow before I leave.
I like to remind people, though, when it's raining, it's a great time to do property inspection if you're looking at buying a house.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, why? Well, because
you get to see
leaks.
Where that water runoff goes, or, yes, leaks in the roof. You get to see what happens with water intrusion, so it's not a bad thing. If you're actually in contract to buy a house, now is the time to give that 24-hour notice to go do an inspection. I know about half the listing agents listening right now just went, ah, don't do that.
Yeah.
But it is true, folks. I'm looking out for you. Just a reminder, of course, our show is sponsored by Cross Country Mortgage. It's where I hang my license and do a lot of loans for people locally. You know, Michelle, I was trying to think about, like, hey, what are the differentiating factors between why someone works with me or, like, Roger Farah in studio with me, who's been with me, you know, for 6 years? It's because we're good at complicated transactions.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we've got great rates, and we have the communication and the service level that you expect. But we're really experienced. I was taking note of all the people in the office that work with me, all the loan officers that work with me, and they all have more experience than I do. And I've been doing this for almost 2 decades. We have a really good team of people that can help you through challenging situations of divorce, recent bankruptcies and short sales. You know, some people don't realize they can get a home loan while they're still in Chapter 13 bankruptcy.
Really?
You won't get it by walking into Wells Fargo or B of A.
No.
But we will make that loan.
Huh.
And so there's all kinds of alternative programs out there as well. So when you think about lending, think about us at Cross Country Mortgage. Call 707-583-8100, 707-583-8100. The other thing we're going to do is watch interest rates for you, because there's so much always happening in the interest rate market. And it's the number one thing, the number one indicator, it's the number one question we get from borrowers, what's your interest rate? Well, that's going to change day by day and hour by hour even. And things like the what's happening with potential Iran military sabers rattling, as they say, those types of geopolitical conflicts actually affect interest rates in ways that people may not realize. And we watch that. We're experts at watching what interest rate markets do. Just remember, folks, that when the stock market is unstable, when geopolitical tensions are unstable, when trade wars are happening, interest rates will stay low. So if you've been thinking about refinancing, this is a good time to do it. If you've been thinking about buying and you think home prices are getting away from you, it's amazing what a quarter or 3/8 percentage point will do to increase your affordability.
Right.
If you drop your payment by $125 a month, that's the equivalent of about a $25,000 difference in purchase price. Well, that's what it is when you're talking about a quarter to 3/8% of an interest rate. So interest rates do affect buying power.
Mm-hmm.
Other things affect buying power. We're going to get right into it with Simon Raya. Hey, Simon, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, how's it going, George? Thank
well, you are an expert in the real estate market, but you have a focus on more investment type properties, don't you?
That's right. That's
Tell
right.
our listeners more about you.
So I got into the market in about 2013 when I decided that this was something that I really wanted to do. And very quickly, I have a background in economics. Very quickly, I realized that I like the numbers aspects of these instruments. These are essentially financial instruments, and that's what really drew me to them.
Uh-huh.
So we can talk about net operating income and cap rates. Right now you're talking about interest rates as an effect of political cycles.
Yeah. That's an economy discussion.
Absolutely.
Economics discussion.
Absolutely. And so what I think is really interesting about what your discussion, what you're talking about as far as residential area goes and what's affecting that market, we can actually affect our markets, our properties, hands-on. And we can increase value. We can decrease value with great management or poor management.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm an expert in economics because I took microeconomics twice in college. Not so good the first time, but really nailed it the second time.
I bet.
And, you know, I learned in the economics discussions that it's a social science, isn't it?
Yes.
And that there are indicators that people watch, but that there's behavior that goes into studying economics, isn't there?
There certainly is behavior.
Talk to us about some of the key indicators more in depth. So you talked about return on investment, ROI.
Right.
We talked about cap rate. We talked about you know, cash flow. What do you think is the single most important indicator that an investor needs to understand and know when they look at getting into buying real estate for investment?
Well, it really depends. But anywhere,
spoken like a true economist.
anywhere in the equation you can start. So we know that we want higher cap rates. Everybody wants a higher return. So how do you influence that?
Well, and I want to talk about what a cap rate is.
A cap rate, really quickly, a cap rate is a rate of capitalization. Basically, it is the income divided by the purchase price. Mm-hmm. So the income from a net operating perspective.
Calculation.
Divided by a purchase price. And that gives you a cap rate.
Uh-huh.
So between that relationship, also if you have an area, for example, Sonoma County, and you have a prevailing cap rate of, say, 5.5% to 6%, you have an NOI on a property of, say, $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can find the sales price by dividing $50,000 net operating income
into a $500,000 purchase price gives you a 10% cap rate.
Exactly. Okay. Or you can rework it the other way around. You can divide that $50,000 by a 6% cap rate and get some number that is
which the sales price. Which we call the income approach to appraising income property.
That's exactly
There's three different approaches to appraising property, folks. You've got the market approach, which is what most people think of when they think of sales comparable data. Mm-hmm. Then you have the cost approach, which is, of course, how much it costs to rebuild the improvement on top of the land. And then they add the land value, site value. And then you have this income approach, which is really a lesser known, but a really good tool to use when you want to figure out if you should buy this property.
Exactly.
So in the income approach, people use an average cap rate. Where do we find that kind of data?
So in that kind of data, you can find it in two places. One, it's going to be on the MLS. You can get the numbers there. For 5 units to 30 and beyond, that's going to be in a different place in the market. You can get those numbers on the MLS. However, they're not as aggressively stored by those brokers.
So I've got to talk about this because you just said it by those brokers. So the public doesn't really have very good access to this data, do they?
No, the public really doesn't
have that's access. Why they need to work with experts like you.
Certainly.
See, I'm constantly in a battle, Simon, against this do-it-yourself lending, this do-it-yourself buying and selling and do-it-yourself taxes or barely the same thing when you go to H&R Block type places where you don't get succinct advice. You've got to go grab all this data from all over the interweb and go, oh, now I'm an expert. I have enough information to make a buying decision.
Except for when a curveball comes up that you weren't planning on or expecting because it wasn't in the 10 steps to listing your property.
That you read on a blog written by a journalist who has a degree in literature and was editor of their yearbook.
And it was posted in 2008.
I think that's a key point. So you run into a curveball and representation becomes key, right? And it's probably more expensive to fix if you started it than if you had just started the right way.
Right. If you didn't have the problem in the first place, then.
Because contracts are real things.
Yes, they are.
Right. So you went and you did it yourself. You found the property on a Zillow Finish type website. And you think you can go make an offer on a for sale by owner. So you have no representation in this thing. And you found your own contract from an attorney that's actually out of Wisconsin. And then, boom, you ordered an appraisal because your lender required it. And it didn't come in at value.
And then what?
And then what?
Exactly.
So talk to me about the value that you place and what it costs buyers to work with you.
Well, I think that's astute observation, number one. In reality, I think what we get out of this is we get the anecdotes, the curveball stories, and we know how to navigate our way through them.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, it's just looking at the macro information that you just pointed out that we have access to. So you might not even go down a rabbit hole had you had that information in the first place.
Sounds expensive, Simon. What does it cost a buyer to use you?
It's really free.
Wait.
You pick up the phone. We talk numbers. We find out if it's a fit. And that's really the long and the short of it.
So we know nothing's really free in this world. And it's important that people understand that your service is incredibly valuable.
It is.
But it's paid for by who?
It's paid for by the seller.
Right. And so the seller's role in this is to pick a buyer who has an agent that they feel is going to get them to the finish line.
Right, you are.
And they're going to pay. They're going to make sure that they're paying good money to your firm,
mm-hmm.
where you then make your commission through right. your firm. They're going to pay RE/MAX Marketplace good money for that representation. And you as the buyer don't have to worry about what that costs.
That's precisely right. Exactly.
It's amazing. It's the strangest industry. See, in my side of the world, we don't get paid either until we close.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, we're paid through our lending relationship and the borrower pays some fees.
Sure.
But on your side of the world, buyers literally don't pay you anything.
No, they don't. They really don't.
But they can get this. You have a stack of paper he's got. Yeah. He's got this stack of paper of all this important summarized terminology that has years of experience behind it.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And it's free. And in reality, on the other hand, a seller pays for this as well, right?
Right, right.
They want their property
to sell.
And they want it to sell for the best and highest. And it makes sense for them to provide a fee.
We're just getting right into it. We're going to come back after our commercial break with Roger Farah. He's, of course, an expert in mortgage lending. He's going to talk about some of the things that affect your buying decision in lending and leveraging a property. Again, I'm with Simon Raya. He's of RE/MAX Marketplace. And if you want to reach Simon, you can get him at 707-326-1117. 326-1117 or find him at simonraya.com. I'm George Adair. We'll be right back.
On Air with George Adair on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5, KSRO.
Hey, it's George Adair with Cross Country Mortgage. That's right, my team and I have partnered with Cross Country Mortgage to deliver fast closings, great interest rates, and the largest selection of loan programs available. Did you know that nearly half of all Sonoma County real estate purchases are made with all cash? That's tough for the other half to compete with, but not for our clients. With Cross Country's fast-track pre-approval, our buyers can close in as little as 10 days and with no loan contingency. In some cases, we can even waive an appraisal. Worried about rising interest rates? That's okay because Cross Country's unique lock-and-shop program lets our pre-approved buyers lock in today's rate while they search for their perfect home. If you're ready to buy or refinance, visit georgeadair.com or call me at 583-8100. Again, go to georgeadair.com or call 583-8100 to begin a great lending experience.
Cross Country Mortgage, NMLS ID 2039, and George Adair, NMLS ID 245370. Equal housing lender, subject to credit approval.
I don't know about you, but I often worry about my parents' future. They used to worry about me in the same way. But these days, I feel like I have become the parent. I love them dearly, but it's simply becoming too difficult to care for them at home. I'm nervous about them falling, eating 3 square meals a day, taking their meds, and becoming too isolated. That's why I am so happy that I visited Springfield Place in Petaluma. Not only did I learn all about their warm and welcoming community, but they treated me to lunch while they were at it. Springfield Place in Petaluma is happy to invite you to lunch and a tour for the month of May. The team at Leisure Care and other residents will treat your parents with dignity and respect. There's lots of independence. I no longer worry because I know that they're having fun, eating well, exercising, and enjoying social events like music and dancing. That's leisurecare.com at Springfield Place. They're inviting you to lunch and a tour today. Call 707-769-3300. That's 707-769-3300.
On Air with George Adair on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5, KSRO.
Hey, we're back. Thanks for joining us today. We've got one of those fast-paced shows where we're talking about things that affect investment property ownership and the decision to get into investment properties. Michelle, this is I like this type of conversation because we're just kind of going
yeah.
for it. You know? We've got a great guest in the studio, Simon Raya. He's been doing this for several years, and he's with the RE/MAX Marketplace team. Simon, you and I were talking about, in general, the indicators that people look at when they want to make an investment property decision. There's a lot of experienced investors out there that saw the market collapse and don't want to ever do it again. What do you say to those folks?
My question is why. I mean, yes, they lost it, but it was a black swan event, right? These types of black swan events happen maybe once a century and are completely out of the ordinary.
Right, and there's things that have that drove the marketplace into that direction.
Right.
And we've got Roger Farah. He's, of course, mortgage advisor with Cross Country. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Roger, talk to us about the difference between what led investors into losing their shorts in the Great Recession to why we're insulated from that today as from a lender's lens.
Okay, well, the banks and Wall Street came up with all kinds of loans out there where that you really didn't have to qualify. We had no income, no job loans, stated income loans.
But we call those ninja loans.
Ninja loans. Whoa. No income, no job, no assets. Fog of mirror.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so, even there were people that weren't doing that either, right? There was fraud all over the place with fake socials.
It's just terrible. But now today, the qualification is so great. We're looking at your income and we're verifying your income as well as your assets and your credit report. So that's what they call a full document loan.
You know, we also have loans today that didn't exist back then called debt coverage ratio or debt service coverage ratio loans, these DSCRs, where they look at just the property as a means to cover its own mortgage. And what happens is lenders record something called an assignment of rents. And the assignment of rents is recorded right alongside the deed of trust so that if the borrower defaults, the lender can take the rents and deal with the borrower's bad default that's happening, but still keep the property going and not kick out the tenants and keep collecting the rents. And that didn't really happen back then.
Correct.
The assignment of rents is a big provision that it's always been around, but now almost all conventional lenders and portfolio lenders are doing.
Another thing too, when you're buying a home as an investment, we can count part of the rent. We can count 75% of it as long as you set up a tenant at loan approval. Mm-hmm. So if you have a tenant with a signed contract, and their check for the deposit and their first month's rent, we can actually count 75% of that rent.
We also have programs where you don't even need to have the tenant yet. They'll just use the market survey from an appraisal to determine what it should be. Mm-hmm. And then you are in a position to make a good financial decision based on information the appraiser helped you provide. Simon Raya, of course, with RE/MAX Marketplace, talking with us about investment opportunities. What role, what are some of the numbers, what are some of the examples people can go to rely on when they invest in something? Say they want to buy a duplex or a triplex for $750,000. You know, are they going to be able to cover the cash flow on that, in your opinion?
Yeah, it seems about right. It seems like they'll be able to cover the cash flow on that. Especially if they're putting down, you know, 20 to 25%, should be absolutely no problem. Well, what we're looking for and what ultimately lenders are looking for is a debt service coverage ratio of about 1.2.
Uh-huh.
So for every dollar you sink into a property, you get $1.20 out.
Right. And that's to help cover the, of course, net operating expenses and vacancy factors,
that's
right?
That's exactly right.
How is vacancy right now?
So it's vacancy factor is fairly low right now. We're at about 4%.
Wow. And what's the historical numbers roughly?
The historical number is about 6.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's, that's 30% less than the historical numbers.
That's right.
And there's a constant ongoing housing shortage.
Right.
Renters are, of course, being squeezed, unfortunately. Yes, for the investors, they can afford to stay in this marketplace and have cash flow to cover their costs, but then the renters are the ones absorbing that.
Right.
Are we seeing a stable rental market, or are we starting to see it taper off?
I think we're slowly seeing a taper. Mm-hmm. However, it's really difficult because what you end up seeing in short run is spikes in outliers. So what that means is you see rent spiking, especially after the fires. Now, that wasn't supposed to happen, but it did happen in some places.
Okay.
Now, those outliers are just that. They're one shot. They're not really correlated with the larger picture.
Yeah.
The larger picture shows a market that is flattening out.
Interesting. Okay. And so what's the process people go through? They give you a call. they want to get into the investment market. How do you start that conversation?
You know, it really depends on who the people are. Typically, some of my clients are older, and they might have either inherited a property or they've just have had property in their family, and they're interested in doing an exchange or something like that.
Pretty common.
Very common,
yeah.
Right? So they don't necessarily have to do an exchange because they have a step up in basis from the passing on of the property. But usually it's something like that. There's some inheritance, there's some family money, and real estate has been a tried and true method for a family, for a given family that they trust it.
Yeah, we can't say it's never that it won't fail you, because it did fail a lot of people in the Great Recession. But it sure is really stable and handles the volatility of marketplace much better than any other security or unsecured type investment strategy. Roger, when people are getting a home loan and you're qualifying them for an investment home loan, what are some of the recommendations you make in how much they should put down? And talk to us a little bit about the differences between an interest rate on, say, a 20% down versus a 30% down or even a 40% down. How does that look in a numerical fashion?
Sure. So there's this term out there that everybody I'm sure knows about called points. So we look at a par rate. And at 20% down, that par rate is going to be higher than a rate at 25% down. There's a huge rate break when you can put 25% down.
Right. And so basically, we call these loan level price adjusters.
Correct.
And they've been built into the loan to mitigate risk. So basically, Fannie Mae looks at it and goes, we're going to make 1,000 loans that fall into this investment category bucket, and 2% of them are going to default. That's the stats on it. So 2% of all those 1,000 loans, that's 20 loans, are going to default. We're going to mitigate that risk by collecting more money when the risk is higher. That's why you can't just expect a one rate fits all, right, Roger?
Correct.
So what are some of the variables within that calculation that make an investment property loan different than an owner-occupied loan?
We're going to look and see how many units it is. We loan from 1 to 4 units. We're also going to look at credit scores. Credit scores is a really big factor when providing a rate for somebody.
And there's combinations there. So we end up with a matrix where we show the FICO score across the top, and then we show the loan-to-value ratio down the side, and they can have compounding effects, so both good and bad. So someone with, say, a 760 credit score and 50% down is going to look much better than someone with a 680 FICO score and 25% down. And we can talk about 1.5% interest rate difference, right?
Oh, yeah.
So those are the loan level pricing adjustments. How does the cash flow get impacted by your mortgage payment?
The cash flow gets impacted by your mortgage payment. I mean, it's very, very simple.
It's the biggest.
It's the biggest
line
cost
item
that you're going to have. So if you're out 5% and it's costing you a 1.5% on your loan, then it's going to eat you up for the life of your mortgage.
So when someone engages with you in the process of buying real estate and they're going to obtain financing, pre-approving is getting that message to them that they need to get a pre-approval is important, isn't it?
Oh, certainly is.
Because you can't complete your spreadsheet and make recommendations on cash flow, market cap rates, because you won't even have the net operating income
right. Unless
you know what that monthly payment looks like.
Well, no, that's actually a very good question that you raised. So the net operating income is actually taken out of the expense sheet.
Mm-hmm.
So we see, when you see a cap NOI analysis, you see that across the board.
Mm-hmm.
So that everything is apples to apples. You're not looking at the mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
The mortgage comes in after.
Mm-hmm.
So that if you're buying these properties, you see them from a cash perspective. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah. Absolutely makes sense. It probably doesn't make sense to a lot of our listeners because we're going real fast, covering a lot of ground. That's why they need to call you, Simon Raya. He's with RE/MAX Marketplace. You can always get him at 707-326-1117. Again, 326-1117. Or catch him at simonraya.com. So, Simon, talk to us a little bit more about the differential between a single family 1 to 4 unit investment and when you get into multifamily, which is 5 units and above. What are some of the big differences?
Well, there's a few. Number one is, what is commercial property? Well, a commercial property is defined to be any income producing property. So technically, a single family residence can be considered commercial, although commercial agents will never tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why, I'm not really sure. It's part of the culture. However, if you can exchange it, to me, that's commercial property.
You're talking about use.
I'm talking about use specifically,
exactly.
Yes.
So the definition of single family has taken on more one of whether or not it's a stick-built house in a neighborhood to track home.
Mm-hmm.
But you're looking at, hey, use-wise, if this is, you have a portfolio of 10 SFRs, that's commercial
That is commercial.
Yeah, that's interesting. I haven't thought of it that way. What role does a 1031, in our last, say, minute here or so, what role does a 1031 exchange play in buying and selling property?
Massive. So 1031 exchange, if you're familiar, some of the listeners are familiar, it is an IRS code where you can, in fact, exchange. You can exchange the proceeds from your sale. Say you bought a property for $100,000 and it appreciated to $500,000. You have a $400,000 delta in taxes that you could pay.
Delta being the change in right. taxes. And of course, 1031 exchanges are complicated, and CPAs often can be involved in helping you decide what your taxable gain is.
That's
after
right.
considering capitalized improvements, depreciation taken, and the purchase price.
Yes.
So there's all these things that go into play. I sure hope listeners are going, you know what? I'm not going to Google that.
Yeah.
The only thing you should be Googling is Simon Raya's name at this point.
How do you spell Raya?
Yeah, Raya is spelled R-A-Y-A.
Okay.
R-A-Y-A. So Simon Raya is an expert in the field of investment properties in the commercial world of single family to four units plus five and above. And if you want to learn more, call him at 707-326-1117. If you're interested in learning about how to get into the financing of investment properties, really getting pre-approved is a good place to start. You can visit our website, georgiadare.com, and what we'll do is we'll get you pre-approved and we'll hook you up with a great loan officer like Roger Farah. Roger's been doing this a long time. 21 years. He's going to start with probing questions that say, hey, what are your investment strategy goals? He's going to then say, how much cash do you have available? How much reserves do you have available? And does this make sense? What's your beta for risk, right? What is your comfort level of risk? And then he's going to say, here's what the numbers look like on a monthly basis. Here's what the market rents are. And it'll put you in touch with a great realtor like Simon Raya of RE/MAX Marketplace. Guys, I really enjoyed talking with you today. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, George.
All right, folks. We'll be back next Wednesday. If you missed the show or you heard it and you only heard half of it because you didn't take fast enough notes, you can always get it at ksro.com. I'm getting the hook. Thanks, Michelle.
Sure.
We'll see you next Wednesday.